And now it's recording. Okay. So, our question was, what stops people from believing in Jesus? And today, a big thing that stops them from believing in Jesus was the fact that they don't believe. That it's like my little buddy over here says, they believe in science, but God's bigger than science. And so that's true. And there's background to what we, our scripture. There were divisions in the church at Corinth. People said, I believe in Paul. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Peter. I believe this, that, and whatever. And Paul's saying, don't have those divisions. Paul wants to deal with what's causing this. Why are we having these divisions? So he talks about the message of the cross. And the message of the cross is foolishness to those who reject it. They say, I don't want to believe this because I think it's foolish. I don't think it makes sense. But it's the power of salvation for those who will accept it. And once again, you notice that a lot of people suddenly decide that Jesus makes a lot more sense once they've given their lives to Him. Because now, all of a sudden, they get it. The light comes on. Oh, I see. They realize their position with regard to God and Jesus' position with regard to God, and that Jesus is bringing them together. So what is the current wisdom that they had? Well, at the time, you had Greek philosophers. Now, philosophers would just want to sit around and discuss things. Well, what about this? What about that? What about the other thing? And they came up with some very interesting things that nobody had ever thought of before. And one of the things they came up with was they decided that everything that ever happens is caused by something. And that was caused by something. And that was caused by something. So you go all the way back and you say when the whole thing started, there had to be an uncaused cause. And that set the whole thing off. And everything had a cause that made different things happen. Well, that uncaused cause, they said, was God. We don't know who He is. We don't know what He is. We don't know anything about Him. But there has to be God. Stephen Hawking, one of the most brilliant men who ever lived, said, God is not optional. For the same reason. He developed the idea of the Big Bang Theory. And you would go back and you would say, this came from this, and this came from this, and this came from this. And it all went back to this ball of nothingness and a Big Bang. So you say, where did that big thing come from that went bang? Where did it come from? Well, I don't know. And so Stephen Hawking said, there had to have been somebody who, even if we take this as being happening, even if we believe in evolution, there had to be somebody who set it all off. And so, God is not optional, he said. Very interesting. And then there was the Jewish scholar. Now, Jewish scholars studied all of the writings. What Moses had said, what this rabbi said, what that rabbi said, all of a sudden, he studied all the religious writings. So instead of being like the guy who was secular in his thinking and trying to figure it all out, this guy was trying to look at all of the religious writings and figure it all out. And he wasn't having much more success than the scholar did. And then you had the debaters. And debaters were these guys who, no matter what you said, they would go the other side just because they loved to debate things. They loved to, you know, they would say, oh no, that can't be right, this, you know, just because they wanted to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Whatever side you're on, I'm going to be on the other side because I love arguing about things. Yeah. These guys can't find God. They're all out there looking, but they're not finding God. When Paul got to Greece, he found an altar that said to an unknown God, because they didn't want to miss anything. They didn't want to make anybody mad. They figured, if there's somebody up there that's bigger than us, I don't want to make him mad, so I'm going to have an altar to an unknown God. And say, we don't know who you are, and if you want us to know you, you've got to come talk to us. What they missed was that he'd already done that. He sent Jesus to show us. So, how do you find real wisdom? Well, the Jews want signs. They're religious. They believe that there's a sign for this and a sign for that and a sign for the other thing. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes it's just God showing you things as you go through your life, and you should figure it out from day-to-day life. You don't need a big sign, you know. The Greeks, the philosophers, want reasoning. They want something that I can set down and I can have a rational proof of it. And the problem with that is that they already, way back, discovered that you can't do that. This is a very interesting thing. If you ever get into higher mathematics, you have things that are called axioms. Axioms is something that cannot be proven, but we all accept it to be true. It's like, how much is that? That's one. Well, if I have another one and I put them together, that's two. Why? Because I said so. And we've all agreed that that's one. That's how much it is. That's two. That's how much it is. And we have a whole number system. And guess what? We have different kinds of number systems. You can have base 8, base 16, all things. Computers run on binary, base 2. But they all have the same definitions at the base of it. That's 1, that's 2. Okay? And so then we look at it and we say, okay, if I'm binary, for instance, if I have a 0, there isn't any. If I have 1, it's a 1. If I have, when I want 2, I have to have 0, 1, because that's 1, 2. But see, it still goes. How many of whatever I'm looking at are there? It has to do with something that we just accept, that that's what it is. Even though we can't prove it. We have the Pythagorean theorem that tells you that, you know, how you can figure out the sides of a right triangle. But you can't prove it. If you do it, if you use it, it always works. But you can't prove it. Mathematically, you cannot do a mathematical proof of the Pythagorean theorem and prove that it works. We had a thing that I guess had been for 1,000 years that somebody said, and my son, who's a mathematician, brought this up. Somebody said something about that this is how math works. And you couldn't prove it. You couldn't do an objective proof of it. But eventually somebody did. They got, well, as Walter will say, they got what they accept as a proof, but in actuality, you can still argue about it. But we know it works. You know, it's like a bumblebee can't fly. If you take science, there goes the bumblebee. So it, you know, okay? So sometimes you can't prove things. Paul preaches Christ crucified, which is an axiom. You can't prove it. You can't prove any of this stuff. You just have to believe it. And people see this as a stumbling block. Well, I can't just believe something right out of left field. Why not? It's as good as anything else if it works. informed Elizabeth, thousands and millions now. It's always worked.
Well, for Jesus' crucifixion, there were witnesses, right?
Right, exactly. And Jesus' resurrection, which most people would say that can't happen, but we have witnesses to it. You know, it seems foolish to the people who do things philosophically, because you can't sit down and work it all out. And those who come to God see God's power and His wisdom of following Jesus, even though it seems like foolishness to the world. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, because, as my little buddy said, God knows how everything works. And so, He's smarter than us. The weakness of God is more powerful than human strength. Time and again, we've seen things where somebody was supposed to lose, and he won because God was with him. And so we know that God is kind of out of the system. So my friend Jerry Yoyokas used to always say that the allegation is that you can change energy to matter or matter to energy, but the total of it all can never change. That's the law. But he says they've got this nice little thing at the end of it. It says, in a closed system. And that means we have a universe. We don't even know what the limits of the universe are, but it's a closed system. And within that system, nothing ever changes. But God's not in that system. God made that system, so He can change it. He's outside the system that we're saying that we have a law about. So what does this mean to us? Well, there should be no divisions. We were talking this morning when I gave my little Operation Christmas Child, that they all know me. A lot of them know me, not all of them, but some of them know me from this church where I gave the presentation. And I said, you know me, you probably know that we're a Baptist church and everything. And people will say, how can a Baptist church and a Nazarene church worship together? Mm-hmm. And it's because we have agreed that the only thing that matters is if I say, how do I get saved? If we agree on what the answer to that question is, then we have fellowship with
each other. Who is Jesus?
Everything else is secondary. You have to get past that in order to say we have fellowship together. Salvation is simple, but some don't get it. They don't understand it. They won't take it. And that's the thing that's at the end of the four spiritual laws. We say God loves you and has a plan for your life. We're separated from God by our sin. Jesus came to take away our sin, but that fourth little one was, you must accept it for yourself. And I've seen a lot of examples about it. It's like if I come in here and I have a little box and it's all wrapped up and I set it down in front of Katisha and I say, that is your present. Mm-hmm. Now, Katisha has a present. It's doing her absolutely no good until she opens it. Because she doesn't really have it until she opens it. And that's what salvation is. You can understand it. You can believe it. You can everything. But until you accept it personally for yourself, you don't have it. And so we know that there's a difference. Strangely enough, the Nazarene church here, one of the definitions of it is that in order to be like Jesus, you have to have a work of the Spirit. But when you get down and you discuss with these people about what are we talking about, they're talking about accepting Jesus.
Yeah.
That's when you have a spiritual encounter with Jesus.
The Holy Spirit gives you the will to
That's right.
To accept
so. even though it's somewhat to some people, when they just read it on the surface, they think, oh no, you're adding things to salvation. Mm-hmm. No, they're just defining what salvation is, mm-hmm. and I like their definition. Salvation is simple, but some don't get it. But it's very powerful for those who do get it and come to Jesus. Arguing does nothing for us. We can sit here and we can talk about things and all this kind of stuff, and we'll get nowhere. Because God has set a definition of how you get right with Him. And God's God, so there's no arguing. We can sit here and discuss this for centuries. But we're not going to change the way to Christ and God. It doesn't help to look for signs. Oh God, I'll come if you'll show me just the right thing. There's a little guy down in Mercer Island named Rabbi Daniel Lappin. And he's read the Bible. And he sees where it talks about the rapture, where everybody's taken out, the church is removed. And he says, if I ever see millions of people suddenly just disappear, I'm becoming a Christian on spot. Because that fulfills for him what would make him believe that, yes, this is all real. Unfortunately, even if he does that, he's now caught in the tribulation and he's not going to have fun. So, you can't look for signs. Real power and wisdom comes from Jesus. And getting it is very simple. You're just asking for it. Lord, show me the truth. Lord, help me to understand this. You know, Lord, I'm taking this course in school, and it's just, I'm confused. I don't understand it. Would you please help me to see what's real with this? And more than once, in the midst of a class that I just wasn't getting, I would pray, and all of a sudden it became clear. Because God said, okay, I can do this. I already know all this stuff. Let me show you. We need to understand that many people are going to see salvation and Jesus and God, the church, as silliness. But those of us who have experienced them see it as the greatest wisdom there is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us and help us to be good servants. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for being here, guys.